May what I speak, may what you hear, be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, and sustains every single one of us. Amen. Please be seated. A verse from that gospel, Luke chapter 11, verse 2, Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, Father." Boy, oh boy, do we have a big topic today. Prayer. Yeah? Prayer. It'll only take an hour to preach today. In today's gospel, Jesus teaches his disciples, teaches us to pray. In fact, he gives us a prayer to say, a sort of a template, you might say, for our prayers, a pattern for our prayers, so to speak. He gives us the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And then Jesus goes on with his little parable about the man who goes to his neighbor at midnight looking for food. Jesus goes on to encourage us to be persistent in our praying, to keep going with our praying, and to trust that in the end our prayers will be answered. Everyone who asks receives, says Jesus. Everyone who searches finds. For everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Well, I can tell you that in my time as a priest, 14 years and counting, this topic of prayer, how to do it, and what we might expect when we do it, these are questions I get asked again and again and again and again. Quite frankly, many good and faithful people find the topic of prayer a very difficult one. Many good and faithful people worry that they do not pray as much as they should, or they worry that they don't know how to pray properly, yeah? Or they face great anguish, pain, doubt indeed, when the things they pray for don't seem to come to pass. I suspect that if we're honest, most of us have been there at one time or another. You know the sort of thing I'm talking about. For example, maybe we have prayed and prayed and prayed, but the job we wanted for ourselves or for a loved one, that job never came along. Or the relationship we worked so hard at still fell apart. Or the longed-for child never came. Or the illness returned. Or the loved one died. And so what happens very often, and I've seen this many, many times, what happens very often is that we try to figure out what's going on here. We try to figure out if maybe there's some kind of system at work here. Maybe there's a certain formula of words which we need to use in order to have our prayers answered. Or maybe there's certain types of prayers, certain categories of prayers, which are allowed by God, and maybe other categories of prayers which are not allowed by God. Or maybe we sometimes think, maybe we think it's all our own fault because we're not good enough, or we're not faithful enough, or we're not deserving enough. Maybe. Well, one famous man who has grappled with these questions and is still grappling with these questions is the famous American rabbi and author Harold Kushner. I'm sure some of you have heard that name, Harold Kushner, because he wrote the best-selling book entitled When Bad Things Happen to Good People. Yeah? You've heard of the book? Well, When Bad Things Happen to Good People is a book which has sold, I think, millions of copies around the world and has been translated into lots of different languages around the world. And when you read it, it's easy to see why. because it's a searingly honest book which Rabbi Kushner wrote on account of his own heartache, his own great personal loss, his own great struggles with prayer. You see, Rabbi Kushner's son Aaron was born with an incurable genetic disease, and after many years of treatment and pain and suffering, Aaron died when he was just 14 years old. That terrible loss led to a crisis of faith for Kushner, and out of that crisis of faith came this book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. So what conclusions does the rabbi come to in this book? Well, first of all, Rabbi Kushner clears some ground by rejecting out of hand some of the usual reasons that are given for why you don't get what you ask for in prayer. It's not a case, he says, that you only have your prayers answered if you deserve it. Or it's not a case that you only get your prayers answered if you have prayed enough. That's not how it works. I couldn't agree more. And then Rabbi Kushner goes on, in a very interesting passage, he goes on to argue that there are some improper prayers. He calls them improper prayers. Prayers which are inadmissible. Prayers we should not make. For example, he says, we shouldn't ask God to go back and change something that's already happened. For example, we can't ask God to go back and change the result of the football match. For example, that's already happened. It's happened. Or, he says, likewise, we shouldn't ask God to change the laws of nature. For example, don't pray for dry rain or for a square circle. Doesn't exist. Another improper prayer, says Kushner, is a prayer which would harm someone else. That makes sense, yeah? And finally, he says, you shouldn't ask God to do something that you can do yourself. For example, you shouldn't ask God that you would pass your exams while you yourself are doing no study for the exams. That would be an improper prayer. So what then is left to pray for, according to Rabbi Kushner? Well, he says, we should pray for courage. We should pray for courage to face what is before us. We should pray for strength to endure what can't be avoided. He writes this, he says, people who pray for courage, for strength to bear the unbearable, for grace to remember what they have left instead of what they have lost, very often find their prayers answered. The God I believe in doesn't send us the problem, he sends us the strength to cope with the problem. There's a great deal of wisdom. There's a great deal of truth in that. And I know that Rabbi Kushner's book and his writings have brought great comfort to millions of people, and that's a wonderful legacy. But, I do think that as followers of Jesus, we would want to say something more than what the rabbi has said. And that something more we would want to say is found in the very first word of the Lord's Prayer as given us today in Luke's Gospel. That first word was, Father. Father. Jesus called God Father. Abba. Daddy. Loving parent. Jesus called God Father, and he's telling us that we can too. He's telling us that we can stand where he stands. We can say what he says. In fact, when we pray Father, we can enter into the same kind of relationship that he has with the Father. When we pray Father, we will be doing nothing less than joining in with Jesus' prayer. Allowing Jesus' prayer, Jesus' presence, Jesus' life to come alive in us. Wow. And that understanding of prayer, I think, changes everything. Because when we allow Jesus' prayer to be our prayer, we will, by the grace of God, grow bit by bit, little by little, more Jesus-like, more Christ-like. When we allow Jesus' life to come alive in us, we will, by the grace of God, grow into that fullness of being human that we see in Jesus. Let me give you some examples. Let me give you some ordinary, everyday, concrete examples of what I mean. For example, Jesus faced temptations in the wilderness and elsewhere. And so very often do we. So very often do we. But by praying Father, by allowing the prayer of Jesus to be our prayer too, we can find a strength beyond our strength to carry us through those temptations. Or Jesus faced the challenge of forgiving those who had wronged him. And God knows sometimes we face that challenge too. But again, by praying Father, by allowing the prayer, the presence of Jesus to come alive in us, we too can find the grace to deal with others like Jesus does, charitably, mercifully, lovingly. And Jesus encountered a world of need, didn't he? He met people with broken hearts, broken limbs, broken dreams, and we do too. And sometimes it can feel that the problems of the world are overwhelming and there's nothing we can do. But again, through prayer, through allowing the Spirit of Jesus to be the animating spirit of our lives, we too can do something. Maybe not everything, but we can do something to bring a healing touch or a word of comfort. And finally, and most importantly, I think, Jesus, let us never forget this, Jesus was full of anguish and agony as he faced death, as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so too, very often, when we face suffering and death, we too are filled with anguish and fear. But by persisting in faith, by allowing the life of Jesus to come alive in us, we too can find peace. The peace that trusts that whether the cup of suffering passes us by and passes our loved ones by, or whether we and they, like Jesus, must drink every last bitter drop, we can trust that nothing can separate us from the love of the one we, like Jesus, call Abba, Father. When you pray, said Jesus, say what I say, stand where I stand, let me live in you, say Father. So I don't know how you feel about your prayer life at the moment. Perhaps you feel God is near, perhaps you don't. But regardless, let me say this to you, let me say this to myself this morning. Let's take heart, let's keep praying, let's keep receiving the body and blood, the life and love of Jesus in this Holy Communion. And let us, as St. Paul wrote in this morning's first reading, he wrote, let us who have received Christ Jesus the Lord, let us continue to live our lives in him. Let us continue to live our lives in him. Jesus said, when you pray, say what I say, stand where I stand, let my life live in you, say Father. May it be so for us. Amen.